com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Aloha. Yes, from Maui we emanate, and boy, do we have an exciting show for you this time around. It's funny, being in Hawaii, it's warm, it's in the 80s, it's sunny, and, you know, unless you get some rain, that's what they're talking about, certainly, on the weather in on the island and all of the islands. But how fun is that for me to actually take a break and have a shot to spend some time with my family in Hawaii. And actually, on a personal note, we are saying farewell to my mother. Many of you know that she was battling cancer and lost her battle last year. And her wish, as she loved Hawaii, was to be brought back to Hawaii. So that's part of the reason why we were on the island as well. So coming up this hour, speaking of weather, a conversation with Dr. Hubbard. Interesting. Dr. Hubbard talks about what we see in the last couple of weeks ago, if you remember, the crazy weather that we had with the ice and the snow and everybody talking about the fact that we were so buried in places like Buffalo and upstate New York, I mean buried snow-wise, that this new word came about. I guess it's not really a new word, but they were talking about the polar vortex. And Dr. Hubbard is the survival doctor, so he's going to share some tips on how to stay safe in cold weather. What do you do in cold weather? How do you dress? Or if you think you have frostbite or hypothermia, because a lot of times people don't even realize they have it. And if you have kids, and we know we're going to get more snowy, cold weather, for goodness sake, at the mothership in Minnesota and Minneapolis, they talk about taking bets as to how deep into March you go. So you want to pay attention to this. Dr. Hubbard has a survival medicine website, and he's the author of one of the greatest little manuals that I ever bought in my life, called Living Ready Pocket Manual First Aid. I mean, he's a veteran in this kind of stuff, so it'll be a lot of fun to hear what he has to say about some of the things that you're probably not thinking about. Also, we have a chance to catch up with Ivan Eland. He's someone who's been on the show many times, talking about what's happening in the Middle East in particular. He is so well-versed, I think, in this area that he adds another layer to the discussion. And this time around with Ivan, the conversation is all about, here we go again, in the Iraq situation, which was something that many of you echoed when we talked about it on the show. I certainly, way back when, have said throughout our shows that I was concerned about once we left Iraq, what was going to happen because of the religious elements and the thousands of years of the animosity between the Shiites and the Sunnis and the Kurds. So he goes deeper and really peels this back, talking about what the policy was and how a lot of people predicted that the vacuum would be filled up by other enemies, America's enemies, and there would be a threat to U.S. national security interests once we abandon Iraq. And now we're certainly, in some cases, in some of the areas, I'm not saying all across the entire country, but in some of the areas, we are definitely seeing that. So we'll talk with Ivan about the situation in Iraq and did we do the right things? Did we do the wrong things? And the fact that we have to be careful of that slippery slide heading back into that country, because how many of you listening to me right now would approve of going back into Iraq? I have a feeling very few of you would say, yeah, let's do that. We spent over a decade there, and now we're seeing what's happening with the pullout in Afghanistan. And finally, also coming up on this show, a conversation with Dr. Butler. Dr. Butler is an ear specialist. You know, this is something that I've noticed a lot of my own friends in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even some younger people that I've worked with who are having problems with their hearing. And you think, yeah, isn't that something that happens to you when you're older? And no, the answer is because we walk around with earbuds in our ears. We turn up music so loud, let's face it. We're in super, super loud places. And now, ultimately, there's been some damage done that we, some of us don't even realize. I mean, how many people, you have your eyes tested, but how many people have had their hearing tested when they're younger? And having Dr. Butler on, it's the thing that I thought about. I can't remember the last time I had my hearing checked. It was probably in a physical, and it was a couple of years ago. So after talking to Dr. Butler, and after you listen to Dr. Butler, I have an appointment to get a physical, and one of the things that we'll test will be hearing. And personally, I don't feel like I've lost any hearing, but of course, I've got headsets on all the time when we're doing the talk show, and earbuds when I'm walking around with the dog, and around a lot of loud conversations, loud places. And who knows, knock on wood, I don't have any kind of damage, but it'll be good to know where I'm at on the hearing scale. So all three coming up, Hubbard, Eland, and Butler, like I said, awesome, awesome conversations you definitely will not want to miss, will not want to miss. And I got to throw this in at the top. You know, so often we're talking about terrible things that are happening and shocking things, whether it's the sadness of theater being all of a sudden shattered waiting for a film because there's a shot in the theater, and, you know, we won't go down that road. And then some of the things that have happened recently in the schools, and you worry about the kids and stuff. How about this deal? How about the police finding $7.2 million? I mean, they counted it exactly. $7.2 million in cash stashed in a bunch of suitcases in the airport in Panama. How does that happen? What happened was they suspected there was a bunch of cash there because they had hidden compartments in the luggage. Don't they know that's so 80s? Or even before. That's like Miami Vice, right? So they were hidden in the compartments in luggage on a flight from Honduras. And you know what it was being moved by? Take a wild guess when I say $7.2 million. Of course, the cartel. The money was mostly in $100 bills. And it certainly, and this is why I bring this up, it certainly illustrates the impact of the drug trade, doesn't it, in that area? This is not news to us that we know that's happening. But the kind of cash that is being moved, the impact of the drug trade. So Honduran investigators are trying to figure out how the suitcases slipped by anybody in the airport. I'm thinking, gee, you think somebody was bribed or what? But anyway, they're investigating. That's the drug police, a bunch of other investigators, and they're talking to dozens of officers to try to figure this out, because you got to figure somebody was able to let them through, because otherwise how were they able to do that? The Panamanian police described the suitcase stash as their largest seizure in years. Largest in years, right? $7.2 million. And as somebody who's just gone through security, let me tell you, I feel like I always get the full shakedown. Maybe they think I have something in hidden compartments, but I really believe that going through here, they arrested three Honduran nationals in connection with the cash. They thought they were free and clear, so you got to figure some people might have been bribed. All right, aloha once again, everybody. Sit back, enjoy more of America Tonight coming up next. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 17th, 2014. Gold opened this morning at $1,244.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,290.28, $645.14 for a half ounce, or $322.57 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,290.28, $645.14, and $322.57.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free. 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Winter, and if you know, if you looked, I was talking about the Farmer's Almanac the other day and the predictions of lots of snow, ice, that kind of stuff. So it's time to accept the reality that you have to survive this kind of stuff. I mean, when we're talking about single digits or where it feels like it's 40 below, you don't want to get frostbite or hypothermia. You don't want your kids to be in trouble when you send them out. So who better to have on the show than Dr. James Hubbard? He is the survival doctor. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Hubbard. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here in the beginning of the year, and we're going to get deeper into this, I believe, based on some of the weather people that I've talked to. So I think we can't be like ostriches and bury our heads in the snow. What are some of the things that people should do, first of all, when it comes to avoiding getting in a situation where you can get hypothermia?
Yeah, well, now's the time to, you know, I mean, this is the warning sign, and I've already talked to some people who have been out of power for quite a while, which makes it even worse. There are several things you should do. First off, you should just in general stock up on some food and water, but also keep it in your car. And anytime you go out in your car, have a well-charged cell phone. That's important these days. And have a blanket, at least, and the usual other supplies. As far as the house, have a secondary heat source of some sort. Now, be careful what it is. If you're going to buy something portable, make sure that it is low on carbon monoxide fumes. And if it uses any type of oils or any type of coal or kerosene or anything like that, you know it's going to have that. So you're going to have a little bit of a source to ventilate that, or you'll get into trouble with the carbon monoxide.
And are you seeing that there's more cases of hypothermia. This is the most I've heard people talk about it. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with the weather. What are some of the symptoms of hypothermia to recognize?
Well, that's one of the problems. And yes, there are more cases. They're mostly for people who are homeless or have drug problems or have alcohol problems or something like that. And, of course, you know that the one thing to do is not get warm by drinking alcohol. But the other thing is, if you're going to be outside doing something, have you a partner with you. Have somebody there with you, because one of the signs, one of the early signs of hypothermia is confusion. So if you get confused, you're not going to really realize what's happening to you. And the next thing you know, you're in the next stage, which is even more severe. You really get a problem. But if you start having the confusion and somebody gets you inside and gets you warmed up, usually you'll be fine.
So with moving from hypothermia to what I mentioned also at the top, this could maybe even be more common. I don't know, because I've seen this with people. But frostbite, it's the same thing. Is it? Do people recognize the symptoms of it or not, where they just feel like their fingers are numb? Am I right? Fingers, toes, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Fingers, toes, are common, ears. You know, the cornea, the eye, can get frostbite.
Ooh.
So if you're going to be out in the wind or you're going to be out on a snowmobile or something, put you some goggles on, because that can happen and you'll not know it either. And frostbite it comes in stages, just like if you were to get burned or something like that. So that if you recognize it early, get in, put your area in some warm water, and just leave it there for 15 or 30 minutes. Chances are you'll be fine with no tissue damage. But the signs can hit you. You can be out and not know it, or not be able to come back in for whatever reason. The main thing is to keep covered up. Know that when your hands start getting numb and then they start looking kind of pale or mottled or whitish, then you're getting frostbite, and you better get in, and hopefully you'll get in before that. Now, the other thing about hypothermia and frostbite is liquid water, wetness, as so much more transfers heat out of your body than other than just air. So layer and try to stay warm. And if you get wet, you need to do something to dry off. But layering can make it where that if you are outside working, you get a little sweaty, you can take off one of the layers or put one on if you're colder, and keep that moisture out, which so much transfers the heat so much more efficiently.
The is interesting. Great, great tips to realize things that you can do for sure. With the wind chills that are below zero, and I mean ridiculous, 30 below, 15 below, what it feels like. If it's below zero, should you just not even be out in that stuff?
I think so. Now, I got poo-pooed by my Alaska readers about that. They say that, but they are used to it and know how to dress and all that. I say that if the wind chill is below zero, certainly keep your kids in, and even if it's around that, be sure, first off, that they snack well, because energy helps you your body produce heat. Make sure they drink plenty of water and fluids. Make sure they layer, and then, you know, don't let them stay out more than about 30 minutes or so before they have to come in, warm up, or check on them or something.
Yeah, so that's something to watch for sure. You also wrote a manual called Living Ready Pocket Manual First Aid. In that book, it's like a survival, I'm sure there's survival techniques there that would be so handy for a lot of people. What do you find is one of the common things that people botch? I mean, I would be one of those people, Doc, to be honest, because knock on wood, I've been really healthy. And if I got into a situation where I was remote somewhere, I don't know that I would know what to do. I mean, I would have emergency preparedness things, like you say, like the water and all that kind of thing. But what if something happens? What do you do? That's part of what you talk about.
Yeah, and one of the things about emergency situations are, you know, they're unpredictable. You don't predict when something's going to happen. Usually it just comes out of the blue, and you panic. And if you don't already know automatically like the first thing or two to do, such as cool a burn or put pressure on a wound or things like that, then you just kind of panic and let those things slip. If you know how to do those things, and those are I have a lot of those things on my book and in my blog, then you can go, then you can wait a minute, catch your breath, and do the other things, which I I go beyond first aid in the book, because it's more like first aid plus if you're going to be without expert medical help for a few hours, few days, or a few weeks. So panicking is one of the main things. Knowing some of the basic things to do is what most people lack.
Yeah, when you say the basic things to do, like, for example, what if somebody slashes their leg? That can be common when you're hiking, when you're out camping, you're in those remote areas where you might not be able to get help right away. You've got to do a tourniquet thing, don't you?
Well, you may have to. It depends. The first thing you should try to do, if the bleeding, unless you've hit an artery and you're bleeding really profusely, and I guess it depends on your experience and what you would define as profusely, but if the blood's spurting out and it's really deep, then put on a tourniquet. You need to know how to do that. You can do that, and you can still save the limb. You're going to need to get some help, obviously, in some way, or get to some help. But that could save your life. But the first, in a lot of instances, probably 90% of the instances, all you need to do is put pressure on it. Take off a piece of clothing and put just pressure right on the wound, and then wrap it. And a lot of times it'll stop if it's not a big artery. And that's safer to do. And you don't worry about that initially. Don't worry that much about it being not sterile, and because what you want to save the life first and worry about infection later.
So the key thing really is to be prepared. And that's your whole thing in surviving, is to be prepared, because you never know when there's an emergency, right?
You never know, you can probably predict that something's going to come up that you weren't predicting. So know the basics. Know what to do. Like I said, for a burn or a wound or a cut or a broken bone or a strain or a head injury and things like that. And there are some basics that everybody could know, and they can definitely save lives.
Because you've seen this in being a doctor? Did you decide, okay, I'm just starting a survival doctor, and I'm going to give out some advice here, and we're going to put together this manual so we can help people with first aid?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, I've had people. I've been a family practitioner for over 30 years, and I've had people come in with problems that they could have easily at least helped out initially. Yeah, they probably need to come to the doctor, but have people that are bleeding that could have stopped the bleeding or have a head trauma or neck trauma. They didn't know what to do. And it goes on and on. And a lot of people think they know what they should do, but they have the wrong information. And if you have the wrong information, of course, it's just as bad.
Can't do it, yeah. All right, check it out, thesurvivaldoctor.com. Dr. Hubbard, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network. GCN.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals?
Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. He's wrote a great piece that's up on Huffington Post about Iraq. And, of course, we've been talking about the situation there since the very beginning here on ATN. And part of the piece, and one of the things that Ivan says, before we go to him, I'm going to read this for you. U.S. intervention in the first place, not abandonment, is the real problem. The U.S. 13-year nation-building intervention in Afghanistan after 9/11 destabilized nuclear-armed Pakistan, which created the Pakistani Taliban. And then he goes further in the piece to talk about Iraq, that's been an artificial country since the British created it after World War I to get its oil. Bingo! The light goes off, and we've talked about the three different factions, the religious factions in the region, and the problem in the first place in being in the middle of that. And so, Ivan, I think you hit the head on the nail, and certainly you're well-schooled in this, have talked about it many times in pieces that you've written. But you say Obama, this is the title of it, Obama should be careful of a slippery slope back into Iraq. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think we're already headed down that slope. It may not go to fruition. I don't know. But there's danger because, you know, anytime you go in and you try to remodel a country with military force, you're kind of always on the hook if something goes wrong there. Everyone looks to you to go back in. You know, the French handle their colonial possessions, former colonial possessions in Africa. The British handle affairs in their former colonial possessions. And then you have America, which has done all these interventions all over the world. People look to us, well, hey, country A is now falling apart. Well, you got to go back in there. So we may not go back in right now, but certainly they're ramping up aid to the government because they're very scared that we spent years training these security forces after Rumsfeld and Paul Bremer dismantled the Iraqi military, which is a big mistake, you know, after we invaded the country. But we created a military, but it's still not doing very well against these al-Qaeda fighters who started in Iraq, went over to Syria, got seasoned in the civil war there, and now are back in Iraq again. And, of course, if we remember it, the funny thing about U.S. policy is Americans don't seem to have long memories because we always forget that we helped either create or encourage our enemies before we had to fight them. And a lot of times they're our allies or we unwittingly created al-Qaeda, for example, funding the Soviet, the Mujahideen against the Soviets in the 80s, right? That turned into al-Qaeda. Well, you know, there's countless examples of where the U.S. has intervened, and then it's come back to bite the U.S. And if you look at the three interventions that we've done recently, Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan, we've just made messes of every country. They were better off before we got there. And it was pretty bad in Afghanistan with the Taliban. It was pretty bad in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, and it was pretty bad in Libya with Gaddafi. But they were autocratic societies. But if you played by the rules, you know, you could survive. Now they have chaos and people are being, you know, shot in the streets, you know, random violence, which is the worst possible thing, right? So there are things worse than autocracies, and we've managed to bring them about. So our interventions are always fraught. We try to bring democracy, at least ostensibly, but in reality, we see in various places when our interests go against democracy, we either overthrow democratic governments, which we've done at least 5 times and probably more if I stop to think about it since the end of the Cold War. And also, sometimes we don't stick up for democracy. And the Arab Spring, we've had very mixed approach to that. But so the democracy rhetoric often masks interests that we're trying to, you know, promote by using military force. But the problem is there are so many unforeseen consequences. And of course, Iraq is probably the biggest example of that. Nothing went right, and now it's falling apart as predictably it would, because once you pop the top off of an artificial country, it was only ruled by a strong man, and it was politically incorrect to say, "Well, is Iraq ready for democracy?" But of course, it wasn't, and it still isn't. And they had this sham democracy, and all the Shiite government is now oppressing the Sunnis in retribution for when the Sunnis oppressed the Shia. And so there's no climate of political compromise. You have to be willing to compromise to have a functioning democracy, and they really don't.
And so as you see this and you watch this, from afar, and you talk about this too in your book, and you mention it in the piece, that why weren't the three groups negotiated with? Why didn't they just give them? I mean, isn't that part of the deal in the Middle East? It's a land grab, and it's thousands of years of history. And then when you throw in our form of democracy, and you just explained it, it doesn't mix out correctly. Isn't there a better way to do this, as you suggest, to just partition the country off?
Well, of course, the best thing to do would have never gotten into the problem in the first place by not intervening in a lot of these places. But once we were in, I wrote this book a few years ago called Partitioning for Peace, an Exit Strategy for Iraq, which is still very applicable. And I said if they don't partition this country in a soft way, that is by the groups doing the hard negotiations to do the, to divide up the country, then they're going to have to do it by a hard partition, meaning by war. And, of course, that's now what's happening. Effectively, the country has been partitioned, and that's what we're seeing. There's three sort of areas with the different ethnic groups that or sectarian groups, as you will. There's the sectarian Arabs, the Sunni Arabs, and then the Kurdish, the Kurds who are Sunnis, but they're not Arabs. So you have three major groups there. And, you know, if this had been done when the U.S. was still there, you know, this negotiated under the U.S. auspices, under the military occupation that the U.S. had, I think that probably would have been the best thing to do. You could either make a divide into three countries, or if that would threaten Turkey too much, you could have a loose confederation. You'd still call it Iraq, but the security and the justice system would be provided by each region, so that you wouldn't have, like you do now, you have Shiite security forces and you have their Shiite justice imposed on Sunnis or other groups, right? And you also, yeah, if you have a weak central government, if it's a loose confederation, you don't have the groups fighting over the central government. These groups have seen what happened during Saddam Hussein's period, and even before that, Iraq was ruled by the Sunni minority. When they see a strong government, everybody wants to get control of the government because they know the government's going to be used to oppress the other two groups, right? So if you have a weak central government, then nobody wants to take it over because it's weak. You know, you have the justice and you have the security forces in the regions, and you may have a free trade area economically. So Iraq would still be a country, but it would just be a loose confederation of those regions, and they would all have a common market, which, you know, that might be doable. But that didn't happen, and so now we're down to the warfare. Now, of course, after the war is over, there probably will be another civil war there. Maybe you could do this, you know, after everybody's tired of fighting. But right now it doesn't look very good for Iraq at all, I don't think.
Yeah, and you specifically point out the statistics at the top, 4,000 American lives gone, lost, and more than $1 trillion in taxpayer dollars that are thrown out the window. And Americans don't have the stomach for this anymore, do they, Ivan?
No, I don't think. I think they're war-weary because they've been told that every war we fight is necessary. Like, why do we need to go into Libya? I mean, you know, Muammar Gaddafi was actually playing ball with the West. He had gotten rid of his nuclear program and that sort of thing. And we really didn't need to take him out. And in fact, if you're Iran, you're looking at what happened to Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, who didn't have nuclear weapons. And then you look at how we gingerly treat North Korea, who probably has obtained a nuclear weapon. Well, what do you do if you're Iran? You try to get a nuclear weapon, right, to keep the U.S. out and that sort of thing. So I think a lot of these interventions are really counterproductive, and we really ought to think about, you know, the Libyan thing just seems like France wanted to do it, and so Obama went along with it sort of reluctantly. But you know, and then Bush started the other two for whatever reasons. But, you know, they weren't very good reasons. And I think that the U.S. has a huge military. And when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Or is it if you have a nail, everything looks like a hammer? I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I mean, we tend to use military power too much because we have a big military and we like to use it. But you can't reform or remodel societies with the military because they're foreign cultures. They have different cultures, and not all of them are going to be receptive to democratization, if that's truly your goal, rather than just grabbing oil or, you know, grabbing something else that you want.
Yeah. Ivan Elin, thanks. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Check out his blog on the Huffington Post. Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
That you pay attention to what we're talking about. I think in this segment, Dr. Nakaya Butler joins us, and she's an audiologist. You know, the whole thing with hearing loss, I think, has become even bigger for younger generations. It's not just, oh, my great-grandfather can't hear anymore, and he's got a hearing aid, and thank goodness, because before we would just be shouting at him. It's, you know, all those old jokes. It's not that way anymore, and part of it is probably because of how we listen to things. I was just out with somebody the other day. In fact, I have two examples of this. I was just out with somebody the other day where we were at a place where there was loud music, and she would lean in close to talk, and she's in her early 40s, and I didn't realize that she had hearing aids. She said she turned her hearing aids off, and I said, hearing aids? And she said, oh, yeah, my hearing has been bad for a while now, and maybe part of it is because of music and maybe a little bit hereditary. And then I have another friend, same thing. I didn't realize he had them as well, and he just turned 40, and he swears the same thing as because of the music. And I was like, whoa, maybe I need to get my hearing checked, but there must be something to this. So how timely to have Dr. Butler on. Hey, Dr. Butler, so is there something to the music thing and the volume that we listen to music, you know, in our iPods and whatnot?
It certainly is. There's a problem called noise-induced hearing loss. where people with perfectly normal hearing exposed to loud noises over time, they start to lose their hearing and have a hearing loss, and it's 100% preventable.
So when you say it's 100% preventable, how's it 100% preventable?
With the use of hearing protection. So first, people just need to be aware that loud sounds can cause a hearing loss. So a perfect example, what you gave is being at that nightclub, being at the bar, live bands going on, and it's painfully loud. You leave the set, you have ringing in your ears. When you leave, you feel like you can't quite hear as well, but after a couple of days, it gets better. Mm-hmm. That is already a sign of a hearing loss and permanent damage has occurred. So, yes, certainly loud sounds. Certain jobs have a lot of loud sounds with equipment and power tools, and those things certainly cause hearing loss over time.
So what do you do protective-wise? Put in earplugs?
Exactly. Just put in earplugs.
Oh, but then, Doc, if I'm dancing to the cool band my friends are playing and I'm going to put earplugs in?
You are. Earplugs are designed to keep dangerously loud sounds out. There's some soft sounds you can't hear as well, but moderate sounds you can hear just fine. So you can put those in, still carry on a conversation, but at the same time protect yourself from the harms of those loud noises.
What about cell phones?
Okay, cell phones and personal listening devices. So, you know, people are using these more and more hours throughout the day. Cell phones and iPods and tablets are so small and portable. People just use it a part of their everyday life pretty much all day. The thing about that is those devices, like an iPod, they can crank out up to 115 decibels, and that's extremely loud. That's like as loud as being near a leaf blower or a chainsaw, dangerously loud. So you just want to be careful with using those devices not to crank the volume all the way up. So
So what do you do? Don't crank it as loud.
Don't crank it as loud. Inside your settings menu, you can actually go to the volume, and you can turn that maximum output down. So if you turn it down just a little bit down that slider, when you're using your headphones every day, when you crank it up to the maximum volume, you're not actually getting it to that full 115 decibels. You have it down at a lower and safer level.
Ah, okay. So go into the settings. I guarantee there are people that do not go into the settings to do that. That's something to do. And how many people, you know, have hearing loss? Is it like 1 in 6, something like that?
Yes. So hearing loss is definitely more common amongst older adults. But about 26 million Americans have hearing loss.
26 million. So how many people, I mean, let's be real, and this is probably part of the problem, how many people don't get their hearing checked? They just keep putting it off.
That is such a big problem. So typically when you have an annual physical with your primary care doctor, they do some type of hearing screening. Okay, and so if you're not getting those annual physicals, you feel like you're healthy, you know, go to the doctor regularly for those annual physicals. A lot of people don't get their hearing checked until they know they have a problem. Their family members and friends are starting to harass them about, you're not hearing well, you should go get checked.
Yeah, no kidding. Is it more common among men or women, or no, it's not a gender thing?
It's really not a gender thing, but traditionally we've seen this noise-induced hearing loss more in men because the type of jobs they have had in the past, they were more likely to work around heavy machinery, equipment, outdoorsy, construction-type jobs, military experience. So for those reasons, we've seen it more in men.
More in men because of jobs, yeah. You talk about the earplugs and things you can do. Are there some other things you can do for prevention?
Sure. So when listening to the iPod, for parents, I always encourage them to use volume-limiting headsets for their kids. So first of all, go into the settings menu like I talked about earlier and lower the volume. But for kids, you can get earphones that actually keep the sound at a lower level. There's volume-limiting adapters that you can use with any device. again, the whole goal is to keep sound at a safer level and just to limit the amount of time you're around these extremely loud noises. The louder the sound, the shorter amount of time you should be around it.
Yeah. Have we seen big changes as far as, I mentioned the two people that I knew that I didn't even realize they had hearing aids. So if you are in that situation, there are things that you can do. It's not like the old giant hearing aids that used to see people walk around with. There are ways that, you know, they're disguisable, aren't they?
They are. I mean, certainly one of the challenges we were up against years ago with getting people hearing aids was, you know, the technology wasn't the best and they were so large and they were noticeable. Well, the hearing aid manufacturers have been working hard to make the sound quality as good as it can be and also a device that is cosmetically appealing where people will actually use them. So you're right. People around you every day, they could be wearing a hearing aid and you not even notice it because they are so discreet.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The ear is a much more complex organ than we think, isn't it?
It is. The ear is responsible for hearing, but there's the other part that's responsible for balance.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that with people, too. What are some signs and maybe some of the symptoms of you might have a hearing problem?
If you find yourself asking for repetition more than you did before, if you are in a group or a crowd and you feel like you can't distinguish what people are saying, the people that you're with and you want to talk to, you misunderstand what they say. You think they said one thing, but they said something else. That's an obvious sign. And if you just think about your everyday lifestyle, if you're feeling like you're missing out on things that you used to do well in, people usually say with the hearing loss, they say, everyone mumbles these days. No one pronounces their words clearly. But when you use those kind of words that everyone and always, it's not necessarily someone else. It's probably your hearing that makes you perceive that everyone is mumbling. So those are some of those common symptoms.
Yeah, you can tell how many times you walk by places and televisions are turned up sky high.
Oh, yes. People will say that my family members come in and they say I have the TV blaring, but I think it's comfortable. I think that that's the level it needs to be for me to understand the program that I'm watching. Yeah, that's certainly another sign.
Here's the other thing, Dr. Butler. Would in having these tests, they're not difficult to do, right? Because people are afraid of all kinds of doctors. They don't want to know. There's sort of like the ignorance thing. But anything with audio, they're not difficult tests, are they?
They are not. Painless tests where you get into a sound-treated room. You listen to different pitches of sounds at different volume levels, and we try to detect the absolute softest level you can hear these various pitches of sound. Definitely not painful at all. And going to your local audiologist, they'll explain everything to you and give you more details on how to protect what you have.
All right, very good. Dr. Butler, thank you so much for coming on. Maybe some people will take notice and pay a little closer attention to what they're doing, the volume and whatnot.
Certainly.
Thanks, Dr. Butler. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.